That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're asking the question today, are we all sons of God? Hope you get that question. Are we all sons of God? And as we make this question an issue, it is my prayer today that you will analyze that question. Call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17 makes a profound declaration of truth. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that is important and should be priority in each of our lives and thoughts even today. We're living in a society today where truth is not sought, truth is not viewed as being equitable or desirable. It was the Psalm 117, verse 2, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good length of time, forever. But it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm finding that to be more relevant each and every day. The society that drifts from the truth will hate those that speak it. And that's where we are. We've drifted from the truth. You don't believe that? Just look at what the media is saying in relationship to what's happening in Minneapolis. Look at what the media is saying about the small fry that's the governor of Minneapolis and the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor of Minnesota, what they're saying. The media comes up with all kinds of twists and pulls on that, and it's deviating from the truth majorly. I'm surprised and yet saddened to read an article that says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. According to the survey, 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. It's an impossibility. That's bifurcating truth, and a half-truth is a whole lie. I want us to understand there's a need for truth. In fact, one major article says Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. Let me read that headline again. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And he goes on to say, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education. And there's no more serious problem than the notion, fashionable in academia for decades, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I find it almost hard to believe, but yet we're witnessing it each and every day. Now, listen, it's bad enough to find a lack of truth in political circles. It's bad enough to find a lack of truth in general society. But, ladies and gentlemen, when you find a deficit of truth in the spiritual, religious, Christian realm, it is absolutely unspeakable. I believe that we need to follow what the Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe that's where we ought to be today. And looking at that is finding truth, as we find in the Scripture, that relates to where we are and what is taking place. We need to study the Word and know what the Word says, which is truth. It's written, I call it the Truth Book. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a profound statement that I have enjoyed restating for years. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's what he did. He's speaking of Jan Hus. When he was being burned at the stake, his final words, he screamed out from the flames, truth shall prevail. And I believe that's what we're finding today. Good example of that, some might get a little uptight, is right now the federal government, the FBI agents have gone into Fulton County, Georgia, and they have used a subpoena. They've taken out about 700 boxes of ballots from the 2020 election. And the head of the election commission in the state of Georgia said, we're not afraid, we have nothing to hide, and he repeated that, we have nothing to hide. Well, why did it take a federal warrant to get those boxes? Why is it that they were so afraid to have the FBI examine the ballots that they claim were legitimate ballots? It's a good illustration of that which is a lack of truth, a deficit of truth. And that's what is so needed in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And they also have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. You say, how do I find Tools for Time? Good question. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have some men around the table with me, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, professors in Conservative Theological University, knowledgeable of the Word. It's always my joy and a blessing to have them with me as we talk about theological doctrinal issues that I believe we need to listen up and recognize. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, thank you so much for being here today. Looking forward to what God is going to say through us that will be impactful on the lives of those about us. Dr. Davis, take a few moments and just do an introductory hello, and then we will have Dr. Phelps do that, and then we'll get into the meat of the subject. Are we all sons of God?
Amen. I thank God for being here today, Dr. Youngblood, and thank God for being able to be with you and Dr. Phelps as we usually do.
I understand you drove through the snow all the way from Folkestone, Georgia.
Well, I am so glad. I am so glad that it hadn't happened yet.
That's right.
It's okay if we keep our, just be patient.
Yeah, be patient.
Be patient.
Go ahead.
Amen. But I just thank God for it. Either way, God is in control.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm putting all my trust in him. Amen. But I want to say good morning to my bride of 39 years. Amen. All of my family and friends. I want to send condolences out. Amen. To the Hannons family on this morning. Amen. And the loss. Amen. Of a great church mother. Amen. One that I came up under. Amen. Mother Ruby Hannons. Amen. Is with the Lord this morning.
Amen.
And I thank and praise God for everything she has poured into my life. Amen. Down through the years in the church. Amen. The great. amen, teaching and the knowledge and, you know, everything from the scriptures. And not only that, amen, the life that she lived and the service that she gives. So, Sister Rose, amen, Chief Wesley Green, amen, want you to know, amen, that you are in our prayers today.
Amen.
Amen. And we're hoping and praying that God will take you through. In fact, we know that he will.
He will. Absolutely.
So all you have to do is trust in him. Amen. But good morning to everybody this
amen.
Morning. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And I hope and pray that since God has allowed you to see 2026, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so.
Amen. Amen. And with that being said, I invite them to tune in, listen carefully to today's broadcast. We're talking about that very thing that we need to understand. Dr. Phelps, say words.
I'm so glad to be here today on this cold January morning, and glad to be in a place where it's warm.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that I'm not living in Indiana. I have pictures in my pocket that I carry sometime of the home where I lived in Indianapolis, and one was taken in the wintertime, about this time of the year, and where I had to shovel the snow and the piles of snow in front of my house. And then I took a picture in the middle of the summer, so I have the two from the exact spot. it's fairly nice in that part of the country in the summertime.
In the summertime, yeah.
But most of all, I'm so thankful today that God has called us by the gospel and has made a change in my life. And I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen. Thankful. Thankful that you two are here and thankful for what God is going to say and do. But ladies and gentlemen, listen. And I don't say this as a negative thought for Christians and Christendom and our churches. But I believe there's a deficit in biblical understanding in America today. I believe there's a serious anemia that infects most Christians today. I believe there's a sense today that in the general Christian life that I can't be taught. I'm already familiar with everything. I have my own kitchen theology, my own cotton candy theology, my own goosebump theology, and I don't need to be taught anymore, don't need to learn anything anymore, that I'm already fully learned and know all of the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have that as a result of what I call milquetoast preaching. Milquetoast preaching. Not in-depth, not doctrinal theological preaching and teaching that will cause a person under that teaching and preaching to understand the scripture. Let me just give a few indications of that. And then we're going to ask Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis to bounce this around a little bit today so that we can have a little better understanding on this subject of, are we all sons of God? There are many today, perhaps you're listening, you don't understand the Trinity. Now, I didn't say you can't explain the Trinity. It's inexplicable. But most Christians today cannot even fathom what we're talking about. We're talking about the Trinity. Many Christians today do not know that salvation is eternal. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, there's no getting lost again. There's a major, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, there's a major deficit in understanding of biblical truths. And when I say that, and just touched on the fact that when a person says yes to Jesus Christ, there are a number of denominations that teach you can be lost again. I think Christians need to go back and study the Word, and not based on denominational dogma, but what the Word of God says. That's the key to it.
Well,
let
me just say, I mean, I have to put this in perspective, because you say this every day on the air, each day on Let's Face the Issues, that there is a place for theological and doctrinal teaching.
Yes.
And this is the reason why so many pastors have given the church members a false sense of security.
Yes.
Because they are not prepared to teach the Word.
Absolutely.
And you say this every day.
Absolutely.
So I think that needs to, maybe we need to keep driving that nail, you know, as hard as we can, because happening in a
yes,
lot of circles.
Since we're there, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote. There are a number of pastors today that have a piece of paper in their hand that says doctor, that they bought online, or that they wrote a 5-page paper about how much I love Jesus, and they have not been trained themselves. But as a result of that false shell that's there with a piece of paper on the wall that says doctor, they're ashamed, embarrassed to go to school and learn the doctrines and the theological truths that the Bible teaches us. Well, there's a need today for training. That's the reason Conservative Theological University exists today. That's the reason since 1982 Conservative Theological University has trained pastors, preachers, teachers, Christian educators, Christian counselors, Christian missionaries, and evangelists around the globe. I'm thankful for the privilege to be a part of what God has done and is doing through our ministry called Conservative Theological University. So with that being said, many people today, many Christians today, because of anemia coming out of the pulpit, they don't know how to discuss the fact that Jesus Christ could not sin. It's theologically called the impeccability of Christ. Many preachers will preach that Jesus was tempted just like we are. Jesus was tempted to sin. He was tempted to smoke. He was tempted to drink. He was tempted to chase skirts. He was tempted to do all the manner of temptations that human beings have. But yet he was without sin. Could Jesus have yielded? No. Why? Because the blood in Jesus' veins is God's blood, and God's blood is pure, untainted. And if Jesus could have yielded to any one of the temptations that man has, Jesus' shed blood would be impossible to cleanse any sin from any human being around the globe. There's a need to understand Scripture. Multitudes believe that somehow, some way, there's the doctrinal error that's called Calvinism, and multitudes believe it and follow it, saying that God predetermined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. That's simply not true at all. Simply not so at all. There are a lot of people today, most Christians are anemic on prophetic eschatological truths. Today, most Christians, as well as average person, will tell you that we are all the children of God, that we're all sons of God. Dr. Phelps, what is the answer to, before we get into the issue today, what is the answer to the anemia that's in the heart and the lives of Christians, and in particular the anemia that comes out of the pulpits?
Well, first of all, I think on the list, number one would be that Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, and if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Mm-hmm. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
And just a brief comment about that last verse, John chapter 8, verse 32. when Jesus said the truth shall make you free, it will make you free from deception.
Yeah, number that's one. Good. Yes.
Because many people today have been deceived by false teaching. Mm-hmm. Many people are caught up in false teaching so that they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know the truth. They have never been taught. You see, we're not only taught by men, but God is our teacher.
Yes.
When we spend time in the Word of God, we have God's promise that he will teach us the truth. And we have the abiding presence of the Spirit of God within every believer. And his purpose, one of his great purposes for being within us and with us, is that of teaching us what is true. And so we need to rely upon God to teach us his truth. And then we can walk in truth. And then we can know the truth. Then we can believe the truth. And then we can be right with God.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, before we, again, the precursor to getting to where we want to go with asking the question, are we all sons of God? Let me remind our listeners that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So my question to you, our listening audience, are we all sons of God? If not, why not? If not, how do we become sons of God? What does the Scripture say? It boils down to what is called a hermeneutic, that is the art and science of biblical interpretation. How do we interpret the Scripture? How do we ascertain what the Scripture is saying? And then, not only what does it say, but how does it apply to us? There are multitudes today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that go back to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and following, and it talks about the sons of God and the daughters of men. And most will get to that text and they will believe a perverted, twisted interpretation of that text and will believe that somehow, some way, sons of God's talking about fallen angels that cohabit with human women and produce grotesque, monstrous, half-human and half-monster beings. And that's the answer they say when it talks about the sons of God. Dr. Phelps, take a moment, just introduce us to that text.
Yes, I would like, first of all, to give the interpretation that we hold here at the university, we believe is true. Conservative Theological University presents the biblical view that the title, the sons of God, as used in the context of Genesis chapter 6, has reference to the godly line of Seth. Back in Genesis chapter 4, we find that when Seth was born, the Bible tells us, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And we believe that that's the line that God follows throughout the rest of Scripture when he was talking about the people of God. God's people, people of faith. The title Sons of God was also used to speak of God's redeemed Old Testament people. For example, in Isaiah 43:6, verse 6, Hosea 11:1, and Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, where that verse is quoted, and it lets us know that it has reference to the Son of God, God's Son, who was born into this world. And of God's redeemed New Testament people, as we find, who are Christians, John chapter 1, verse 12, those who receive Christ. And in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, to repeat, the title Sons of God is mentioned in John chapter 3 to speak of Christians, those who believe on the Son of God. Therefore, when the sons of God, the descendants of Seth, saw the daughters of men, the descendants of Cain, they took them wives of all they chose. And as I read this passage, God begins to speak in verse 5 of this same chapter in Genesis about the wicked imagination of men. But we find no mention of angels in anywhere in Genesis chapter 6. Therefore, we believe that this has reference to human beings, men, human beings, women, being taken in marriage. Now, according to Jesus' explanation to the Sadducees regarding the question of marriage, he revealed that the practice of marriage is unknown among angels. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." So we find that Jesus clarifies that angels do not participate in human union. They do not participate in marriage. Angels are celestial, heavenly beings. And if you read 1 Corinthians 15, 39 and following, men, human beings, have a different kind of flesh than angels. We don't ever read, actually, that angels are said to have flesh. They're not flesh beings. They're not people like we are.
That's right. So with that being said, basically that's an overview of Genesis 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in particular. So, Dr. Davis, taking from what Dr. Phelps just said and in reading the text, if a person today, two Christians, two individuals, saved or lost, they're talking, and many times they'll say, well, we're all sons of God. Is that true or false? Hold your thought for just a moment while we take our caller. Jim, I believe Jim is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, doctors, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. Morning, pray that you are.
Jim. Outstanding. I, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this part out. I mean, Jesus died for everybody, but it's up to the individual, you know, to profess and to learn of him and to call out upon him and say that he's my Savior. Well, Jesus is my Savior. And then to follow up in the Word, which is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, to know that he is the Son and to know that he is the perfect human being in God's, you know, God's representation there. And when you receive the Spirit, I kind of like look at it as it's that little voice in the back of your head that when you're getting ready to do something that says, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But Nephilim, is that what the Genesis references that you guys are talking about right now, the Nephilim?
The Nephilim is found in that text, but it's verses 4 and following in the Genesis chapter 6. And it simply, if you can allow me to simply do a little footnote on that, and there were giants in the land, is a statement. It is not the product of a relationship between a fallen angel and a human woman. That's not what it's saying. It's a benchmark. If I were to say we're having this conversation today and Donna Deegan is the mayor of Jacksonville, that's a benchmark, a placement there of a time frame. It is talking about when there were giants, Nephilim. But when you look at the scripture further, those giants, it's talking about those that are giant. In fact, when you look at the size of human beings before the flood, they're pretty good-sized people. In fact, one man that teaches on the flood and teaches on Genesis text and the size of people, he said, for example, when Noah was building the ark, he told one of his boys, says, go over and get me that tree. And he walks over and puts his arm around the tree, plucks it up, walks back, says, Dad, is this one you want? Because the size the size of human beings at that time before the flood. But it has no connectivity. It's a benchmark. No connectivity. Does not say, and as a result of the sexual relationship between fallen angels and human women, they produced the offsprings and they were giants. It didn't say that at all. That is not what the text is saying. So that's the confusion that multitudes, in fact, some good preachers, some good sound theological minds that's on national radio and television today have major, major confusion, and they're confusing the hearts and the lives of people and teaching that aberrant theology that is absolutely false, phony, and not existent in the Scripture. And that's what we'll talk about today, validating it with Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. So, Jim, keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you, and thank you for calling.
God bless you, too.
Dr. Davis, take just one moment before our news break, and then we've got other callers on the line. Callers, if you would hang on, we'll be with you in just a moment. Go ahead, Dr. Davis.
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, again, getting back to the context of things like you always say, and you drive that home very hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with every student that ever came through, I mean, you even had me doing it in the class.
That's right.
Context. So I think a lot of people would be familiar with that, you know, if they heard, you know, that being said.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you start with verse 1 in Genesis 6, let me say the explanation or the view from each verse changes the context of what's happening until it gets to that verse. So some people take it out of context.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think verse 4, and if I go back and look at it right quickly, and I would know we're getting ready to take a break. Amen. But here, it says here, there were giants. Now, when you go to verse 3, it's talking about, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. See how it changed from verse 2, when it talked about the sons of God and the daughters of men, and then God saying, my spirit shall not strive, and then when it got to verse 4, it started talking about the giants.
Mm-hmm.
But it never said that that was a direct product of what happened between the women and the sons of God.
Absolutely. That is absolutely fake, phony, fallacious theology that's being perpetrated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.